This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, The Love Feast.
This is one of those mornings you can say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? Amen. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. That's right. Praise His name. Well, you're in a fellowship that's called a Church of the Brethren. It's sort of like Baptist, but not. It's nothing like Anglican, but we are the Brethren. It's a simple, loving message. There is some unique things about the Brethren. I'd share one of them with you, the big thing that's unique about us. Biannually, twice a year, we have a very special service on the third Sundays of May and October. And that service is called the Love Feast. Those who faithfully attend will tell you that it's this special service that's really wonderful. Now, we'll tell you that one of our sayings here is not till we meet again, but until we eat again. So there is something special about this meal tonight. It's a very simple meal. It's a very supernatural meal. It's a very special time that we get together to share some wonderful things that Christ has shared with us and told us to duplicate. That's right. So I'd like us to go to a text this morning, John chapter 13, verses 1 to 17. And I'd like us to stand together as we read the text. It's up here on PowerPoint, so we can all read from the same text. John chapter 13, verses 1 to 17, and it gives us background into what we're going to be talking about. Verse 1, now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said to them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Thank you. You may be seated. The Love Feast has three symbolic components. Number one is feet washing. Number two is something called the agape or love meal. And number three is communion. Jesus has been said to be the ultimate teacher. He didn't use technology. Instead, what he used was words. He used illustrations, he used stories, and he used repetition to get across what it was that he was trying to teach. He was trying to teach some truths to people who are hard to learn. Amen. I don't know about you, but I can be hard to learn.
Amen.
And so Jesus has to continue to remind me over and over again of the things that he wants to teach me, not just intellectually, but stuff that's going to get down here where I really am. And so I'd like to break down these three components of the love feast for you. Number one, feet washing, which we believe here is a symbol of service. A symbol of service. In the 4th century, the Christian church labeled foot washing as an ordinance. In other words, a rule. Something that you must do. In doing that 1,600 years ago, they missed the whole point. This is not something we do because we have to. Jesus said it in verse 15. I've given you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I want to teach you a lesson. I want to teach you a lesson about leadership. I want to teach you a lesson about humility. And 2,000 years ago, let me tell you something. They really needed this lesson. Why? Because it wasn't more than a few hours earlier that they got into a fight. These wonderful holy men, these weren't holy men. These were ordinary men. You see, Jesus, if he was looking for holy men, he wouldn't find, and holy women, he wouldn't find any. That's not us. But if you were going to write a holy book, wouldn't you want to have all the holy people really be pretty holy? But here are these birds, and what are they doing? They're fighting about something. Verse 20, Luke chapter 22 and verse 24. It says that the fight broke out, and the question was, which among them would be accounted the greatest? You know what they're talking about? They say, well, now Jesus has told us time and time again that he's going to die. Jesus has told us that he's going to leave us. So the big question for us is, who's going to take Jesus' place? Isn't that cool? Are you folks thinking about that yet? Who's going to take the place of the pastor when he's gone? You're in charge. What are you going to do? Jesus' example to them is that the greatest leaders you can find are those who serve others. You see, real leadership is in service. Amen. Real leadership is in getting to the place where you touch people where they live.
Amen.
A man never stands as tall as when he kneels to help a child or somebody in need or somebody whose heart is broken. When we reach out in ways that really are meaningful, we can change people's lives by the moving of the Holy Spirit through us, exemplifying the love of Jesus Christ to those folks, a compassion that we have for souls, and a passion to be able to speak the name of Jesus to people who are really, really hurting. John Wesley said about this kind of caring and giving, the founder of the Methodist Church, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can, as long as we've got breath. Our job is to care and love for people around us. Amen. So that in that caring and in that loving, they might see Christ in us.
Right.
And then they're going to want to know, how did you get like that? And you're not going to say it was because my parents brought me up, right?
Right.
You're not going to say because I've been in church. You know, thinking that by going to church you're going to become a Christian is like going into a bagel shop and thinking you're going to become outing a bagel. It don't work like that. Believe me when I tell you, it don't work like that. And Jesus said, when you live your life in that way, he says this in verse 17, if you know these things, if you do these things, happy are you. If you know it, and if you do it, you're on the road to happiness. Real happiness is about what I get from life. It's what I give of myself into life. It's how I care for the people who come into my sphere of influence. It's how I make each person feel special. And that specialness reminds me of Jesus on the cross. When he died, he didn't die for the world. He died for each individual in the world. I don't know how he did that. But then again, I don't know how computer games are generated, do you? I don't even know how my cell phone works. All I know is when I, believe it or not, flip the lid, that thing starts talking. You tell me how that happened there. Do as I've done to you, Jesus said. Repeat it over and over and over again, time and time again. Because when you repeat it, when you love, when you care, when you share, when you get down on your knees to wash a brother or sister's feet, when you take those acts of kindness and you do them over and over again, eventually they become a pattern. And that pattern becomes a way of life. Amen. And that way of life is a life of purpose. And it's a life worth living.
Amen. Good.
Number two, the agape meal, a symbol of community, a symbol of community. Psalm 133:1 says, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." There's nothing better than the church at its best. But let me say this also. There's nothing worse than the church at war with itself. There's nothing worse than churches at war over the style of worship, over the color of the carpet, over the size of this and the size of that. There's nothing worse. There's nothing better than the church when it's at its best. And at its best, it's a loving community.
Amen.
Where connections are made. You can't do this alone. You're finding that out in Teen Challenge. You can't do it alone.
Amen.
The fact that you're as strong as you are is because you're depending on one another.
Amen.
Well, we're only as strong as we are because we're depending on one another. We need each other as much as you need one another. You know, all of us are a little crippled.
Amen.
You know, all of us need somebody who we can throw our arm over their shoulder and help us to walk.
Amen.
We all need that. Amen. We may look healthy to you. We may look like we've got it all together. But if you think you've got it all together and you get everything straight and you're perfect, would you raise your hand?
Amen.
I want you up here. Because this bird can't stand up here and say that to you.
Amen.
I don't have it all together. In fact, there are times when I'm picking up the pieces. Jesus said there are two great commandments. The first, we should love the Lord with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. And the second one, that we should love our neighbors as ourselves. Two dimensions of the cross, the vertical and the horizontal. The vertical up to God. The horizontal, Jesus with his arms stretched out saying, I want you, I need you, I've come for you. We live out our lives that God has given us through our relationships with people. The agape meal is a simple family meal that serves to remind us that God has gifted us to one another.
Yes.
You're a gift. You guys were a gift to us this morning. Were you blessed out there this morning?
Amen.
Amen. You were blessed. Amen. That blessing comes from brothers.
Amen.
And sisters in Jesus Christ. It's a blessing you can't get anywhere else. It's a high, if you mind my saying it. You can't get from anything else. This is a high day in the life of the church. It's about as high as it gets, where we can serve one another. We can love one another. We can stoop down to love a brother by washing his or her feet. Now, the men wash men's feet and the women wash women's feet separate. But it's something special when I get down in front of my brother and I put on a towel and I kneel before him and I put his foot in the basin and I wash that foot. Not that it's dirty. If they come dirty, we put a little extra soap on it. But just to be able to say, I want to serve you. I want to let you know I love you and I care for you. I'm praying for you. I'm holding you up.
Amen.
I tell you, we need that.
Amen.
That family meal that we have reminds us that the family that we're sitting with is not comprised of the people around the table. It's spread around the world. Some of you from Teen Challenge said, well, I haven't been here before. Do you feel like you've been here before now?
Amen.
Well, you've been here before now.
Right.
Now.
Right.
That love that we have, that connection, that community of believers called the church is universal. It spreads around the world, India, China, Africa, Europe, Mexico, or down the road. Wherever people love and serve the Savior Jesus Christ, we're connected. And we need each other. And we're gifted to one another. We're here to help one another and love one another and pray for one another. The agape meal reminds us that it's in the little things. The small acts of kindness, the smile, the hugs, the simple expressions of concern and caring. A prayer that binds us as a family together and helps us by the Holy Spirit to get through the rough roads of life. And there isn't a person in this meeting house this morning who hasn't had some rough spots in their life.
Amen.
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 Number three, communion, the symbol of redemption. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, Paul writes, he took bread, and 1 Corinthians 11, 24 and 25 says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Regardless of our age, there's one thing we're really good at. Forgetting. Forgetting. We forget to be kind to the people we love. We forget to serve the people we care for. We forget to say thank you. We forget to pray after we've told people we're going to. And how often do we forget the many blessings that God has poured out upon us? And Jesus says over and over again, look, I've instituted this so that you would always remember what it is I gave you, what it is I did for you. Do you remember what it is that he did for you today? Do you remember what it is that he did? We say he hung on the cross and died. He did more than that.
That's right.
He left glory to come here. He left a place of prominence in the universe. He was Lord of lords and kings of kings of the angels. The angels bowed to him. Yesterday they had the wedding of in England between a prince and his new American princess. And when the trumpet sounded, Queen Elizabeth walked in. And everybody stood and everybody bows for the queen. But you know, the queen doesn't bow for everybody. She only bows for the real king.
That's right.
The king of the universe, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I bow to Jesus. And no one else.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus reminds us, I came here to show my love for you. So thousands of years in the Old Testament, God's been trying to tell the universe, trying to tell the world, trying to tell the people of this planet, I love you. I love you. I love you, but we didn't get it. And so his plan was that he'd come down and he'd tell it to us face to face, look right in our eyes and say, I love you, and now I'm going to prove it. Greater love is no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. And I call you my friends, he says. He reminds us, I was falsely accused and I was judged falsely and condemned for you. I was beaten. I was spit upon. I was humiliated. I was cursed. I was slapped. I was nailed to that cross for you. You, Bob. The love feast is a reenactment of those things. Jesus did all of that for us. And what did he ask for us in return? He asked us to remember something. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He said, can you remember that? Can you get your arms around that kind of love? Can you share that kind of love with the people in your life? Can you show it to them? Can you demonstrate it? Can you teach it? Can you remember to wash their feet, even if it's symbolically in your own mind, to serve them? Can you remember that you are part of a community, a faith community, and once people receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, they're as much family to you as your blood and maybe even more.
Amen.
Because if
Amen.
You have unsaved blood loved ones, when they die, you'll never see them again. But if you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you've got a believing family, yes, you'll see them home in heaven. Your spiritual brothers and your spiritual sisters, it's not just about here and now. It's about here, now, and forever. In communion, he reminds us to live out our faith by sharing the gospel that Jesus Christ died on the cross. He was buried. He remained in there 3 days. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven. And he wants you to tell everybody. And he wants you to show it by how you live. He teaches by show and tell. So do you. Let people see. Let people see Jesus Christ in you. And when they see Jesus Christ, they're going to ask you questions. And when they do, let the Holy Spirit speak through you. And let them know that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, the only way to heaven, the only way to be free from sin, the only way to feel forgiven, the only way to be forgiven, the only way to love, the only way, the only truth, and the only life in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Do we have it?
Amen.
Do you have it?
Amen.
Amen. Well, if you have it, share it. Let's close in prayer.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.